said is February 28th, 2005. Heidi, can you talk to us briefly about House Bill 2288?
I believe that is Mr. Sears.
Mr. Sears, you do it, please.
I can. Chair Krieger, members of the committee, House Bill 2288 was filed at the request of the debtor-creditor section of the Oregon State Bar. Yes. It allows junior lien holders to recover excess proceeds obtained from the foreclosure sale of encumbered property. The carrier of the bill is Representative Girard, and the basic idea of this bill, right now when property is sold in a foreclosure sale that has a lien on it, the statute set out where those proceeds must go. First they go to cover the costs of the foreclosure sale. Second they go to the lien holder that is selling the property that has that lien, the primary lien holder. And third, they go to the clerk's office so they can be picked up by the owner, original owner of that property. There's no provision for secondary or junior debtors to obtain excess recoveries that are made at these foreclosure sales. This bill allows that to happen. It includes that provision in how the proceeds are distributed. And it brings this section of the statute into conformance with the Uniform Commercial Code.
I want to open a work session, and I failed to do that. Any questions or comments on the bill? Request a motion on the bill?
Mr. Chair?
Representative Grubb?
I would move House Bill 2288 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Girard has moved House Bill 2288 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any questions? Call the roll, please.
Representative Ackerman?
Aye.
Representative Barker?
Aye.
Representative Flores?
Aye.
Representative Girard?
Aye.
Representative Thatcher?
Aye.
Representative Worth, excused. Vice Chair McPherson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Olson?
Aye.
Chair Krieger?
Aye.
House Bill 2288 moves to the floor with a due pass. Representative Girard, do you want to carry that?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
John, do you want this one here?
Yeah, it's the one they want to hold you.
No, 2145 is the one to hold you. 2145, absolutely, that's right. But 2015, we're ready on, and Craig is here if you want to do 124.
Okay, we'll do that. Mr. Prince, did you come up, please? We're going to open a information session on Senate Bill 124 before we move to the work session.
Members of the committee, Craig Prince, on behalf of Senate Bill 124. I apologize. I was not here for the subcommittee meeting. So I'll be brief, and then if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them. This is the bill that codifies the when the legislature makes amendments to criminal bills, the Criminal Justice Commission sets those bills, makes a decision as to the where they should be set on the sentencing guidelines. And makes a decision on new crimes, whether they should be person or non-person crimes. So this is the bill that makes those rule changes. And it is a bill that must be approved by the legislature. We have kind of a unique rule in that our rules will sunset unless approved. So in the staff measure summary, you'll see, you might recall some of the bills that were looked at last session. If you have any questions on what these separate bills or what these separate rule sections do, there's a in the background information. You can see we've broken them down numerically. The other thing that the bill does is if you look at section 2 and 3 of the bill, this relates to felony sentencing reports. The commission gathers felony sentencing information from the courts. And currently we do that in a very, we do it by paper, so that the court fills out a sentence report when a person is sentenced on a felony, and they send it to us. And we now have the ability to do that with a computer. And so this amendment, which you see on page 2 of the bill at lines 28 and 29, would allow the courts to submit to the commission those reports by rule, and we will set rules on how we do that and have them approved by the Chief Justice or the Supreme Court. But the idea is so that we can have it done on a data server, and the courts have been very helpful and have agreed to do that, and will be using their system that they've been working on, and we will have those rules approved by the Chief to make sure he's okay with how we do that. I think it'll save a lot of time, and I'm very excited about being able to do that, because then we can have better data for you on how felonies are sentenced in Oregon. So if there's any questions, I'd be happy to try to answer them.
Representative Thatcher, did you get any of your concerns addressed, or when you see all of these administrative rules, are you uncomfortable not knowing specifically what they are as you go down looking at them?
I guess I would feel more comfortable having read each one of those. I just didn't get an opportunity to before, and that's not anybody else's here's fault. But I do have a question about specific additions, like Rule 213, 017, 003, and 004, where it just added to CC9, just update me on what that means, adding negligent homicide and manslaughter to.
I'd be happy to, Mr. Chair and Representative Thatcher. In 2003, Senate Bill 421 directed the commission to set the crime category for negligent homicide and manslaughter to where there's a vehicle and a drunk driver at a class 9. That was an elevation. So if you recall the sentencing guidelines, what that did is it enhanced the penalty from a crime seriousness 8 to a 9 for that unique situation. And it was actually a bill that told us to do that. So it's not like the commission. We just put into rule what the legislature told us to do in 03.
Representative Groen.
Mr. Chair, maybe you, it's my naivety of being on this committee for the first time, but I don't understand why we have to approve something that was already done.
Mr. Perns.
Mr. Chair, Representative Gerard, that's a good question. I think the answer is control. My commission is unique in this way, that as far as I know. But when the Criminal Justice Commission was created and given the charge to set the sentencing guidelines, I think there was a real concern, and the legislature wanted to make sure that you had the utmost of control on that, because it does impact prison populations. It does impact, how people are sentenced in Oregon, because, as you know, in Oregon we have a presumptive sentence, and we set that by rule, and the judge follows that unless they find reasons not to. So I think it comes down to control. It's in ORS 137.667, and again, I think it's unique. I talked to legislative counsel about this, and we're trying to figure out if there was anyone else that had this situation. So it's just to make sure that you know what we're doing with the crimes that the body passes.
Thank you. Greg, if this body, this committee, pass out a sentencing guideline or a new sentence, like for child abuse, sexual abuse of children, that type of thing would show up here
correct.
Next session.
Correct.
It's whatever you've done with it.
Mr. Chairman, that's correct. We to give an example, last session there's two ways that it can happen. Last session there were some ID theft bills passed about credit card factoring, and I can't recall unlawful factoring of a payment card, which was a way that people can misuse a credit card and use the credit, abuse it basically. So what the commission does is it looks at that crime. The commission is a body of criminal law practitioners and a civilian. The chair is Tom Leininger. He's a professor at University of Oregon. They sit down and we make a recommendation as to what a like crime would be. So in that case, they would look at, say, identity theft and forgery and look at where the crime classification is for that, and then they would set that in rule to make it, you know, similar to a crime that's similarly situated. And then we come back and ask you to approve what we did. The other situation is the one that I mentioned in Senate Bill 421 that Representative Thatcher brought up, which is where basically we don't do anything except just do the rule, and we are directed to set it at a certain crime seriousness by the legislature. So that's correct. We come back and ask for approval of where we've set the new crimes and how we've decided to classify them for the crime seriousness and then for whether they are a person crime, which affects a person's criminal history.
Greg, do you know if this committee in the past has ever taken all of those particular line by lines and then questioned you and delved into those lines? You know, my first session that we didn't, yeah. I would assume Representative McPherson and Ackerman were here last time. I don't believe he did last time. But we get this bill every year, don't we, every session?
Every session. Mr. Chair, that's correct. Yeah. We get it every session. I don't think that there was any question last time. It passed in the Senate without any dissent, as I recall. Usually it's the only only time I think when people question it is if there was, I think some reason you'd want to put me through my paces and just kind of mess with me a little bit. That's my experience. And I'd be happy to, I'm here for that if you want.
I think Representative Flores wants to start the process. She has a question.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, but I really don't want to mess with you. Just a couple of questions,
if you might.
Now, we are now approving some administrative rules that you promulgated as a result of legislation in 2001-2003. So you created the rules as a result of laws that we passed.
That's correct.
Number one, are there any other agencies or commissions that go through this process of the legislature affirming the administrative rules that have been created as a result of the laws that we passed?
Chair Trigger, and Representative Flores, I don't think so. I was talking with the drafter of this language in ORS 137.667. I think it's unique, and I think it's because setting crimes is a legislature's purview, and we just assist in setting them into the guidelines. And that's an important thing that I think when the commission was created, the legislature just wanted to have more control than usual.
Follow up, please.
Make sure. Okay.
Thank you. Can you tell us about how long it takes you to promulgate administrative rules as a result of legislation that has been passed?
Mr. Chair, Representative Flores, how long, meaning how many staff meetings and how much discussion
frame.
Or... I would have to check. The way it works is, there's a temporary rule and a permanent rule. So to make it a temporary rule, we typically, the staff, I believe, at the commission sits down, makes recommendations to the commission. If they approve those, they become a temporary rule. And then I can't recall how long the temporary rule has to stand. I have to get my Oregon Administrative Rules booklet out and then it becomes a permanent rule. That's the normal, the way it works. So I can give you more information on that if you'd like. I don't have how many days. I'm sorry.
Follow up.
Well, within a year.
Yes.
Six months to a year, perhaps.
Yes.
Okay. Then, and since we are now affirming some legislation and administrative rules that tie to it from 2001, the 2001 piece, why the delay that we're just now getting to that, which ordinarily I understand would then have been done in 2003?
Chair Krieger, that's Representative Flores, that's a good question. The 2001 changes are housekeeping, so that when you change the 03, it was basically just changing what I would call Scrivener's changes in the rules. I'd be happy to show you them. We actually made them, we actually classified the 01 changes in 01, but then as things move in the rules, just like in the statutes, they were clerical moves for the 01. So those were moved. Those were done. It's just that when Joe O'Leary did this staff summary, we actually talked about that, and he's not here, I'm sorry, but those changes that reflected the 2001 law changes that the legislature made were made then. These are just administrative changes, and if you'd like, I can show you those and explain better what I'm trying to say.
Thank you.
Representative McPherson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Prunes, is the crime seriousness category always specified in statute, or is that a discretionary decision then that the commission makes?
Chair Krieger, Representative McPherson, it's usually discretionary. When Senator Minnis was here the last two sessions, he sometimes, I know that in the last two sessions when I was counsel, we would set what we wanted the crime seriousness to be. I don't know if we were the first ones to do that or not, but the way the system is set up is to not do that. We did that. And it does, the reason that it's easier to have the fiscal impact up front if you set that. And then sometimes, as I recall, for example, again, the Senate Bill 421, that was the bill, basically, that some of the crime victims groups had really wanted it to have a higher crime seriousness. But the system is set up for the commission, which, again, is really their charge is to look at the entire group and make decisions on that.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Prinz, are you confident that these administrative rules simply follow? There's not been anything added or that would change legislative intent anywhere?
Mr. Chair, I am very confident that they are boring rule changes that either we set one exactly where like crimes would be, or we did it exactly as we were directed to do. As you might recall, last session, because we didn't have much, we were in a budget crisis, there were not any big sweeping criminal changes. So there's nothing like, say, the identity theft bill or the repo bill from 97, anything like that. So, yes, I'm confident that they're reflective of the legislature's actions and that there's no surprises in there. If you'd be more comfortable, I'd be happy to give you the rules and show you. I'd be happy to do that, and I apologize for not doing that at this time.
Representative Flores, you have anything further at all? Any of your concerns have been handled all right? Just questions?
I think so, but I do look forward to a conversation to follow up off the record.
Representative Thatcher, you're smiling.
I do have a question, if you wouldn't mind. It seems like some statutes include specifically giving an agency some latitude to adopt administrative rules. And sometimes it's maybe interpret or get a detail in there that maybe they didn't want to statutorily put in the statute. So I'm wondering if you're just merely reflecting all the previous statutory changes and amendments, what's the point of the rule?
Representative Krieger, Representative Thatcher, let me give you a hypothetical. Say someone asks you to carry a crime bill. You may or may not know what the crime seriousness, if you had any idea what it should be to make it similar to other crimes. So doing that, some legislators, I think most legislators who are not experienced with criminal law would not, I would not even have dealt with the sentencing guidelines before. So I think it's an opportunity for a forum of experts in criminal law to, in one sense, it's the same as any other administrative rule. The legislature passes the bill, like you said, and then we fill in where we believe it should fit on the guidelines. So it's the same, as you said, so that those situations where the legislature doesn't have maybe the expertise to do that and to do that survey of all the felony crimes and make that decision. That's basically, it's the same idea, filling in. But again, because it's such an important area, we come back for approval.
Representative Thatcher, we could put it off a day, let you study it, bring us back a 5-page report.
I just feel like we do need to not just
I think the explanation we had makes everybody feel more comfortable than they did. It's something we've done in the past. It's something we do every session. Any further questions? I hope not. Thank you, Mr. Friends.
Thank you.
I'm going to move to a work session on the bill. Senate Bill 124.
Chair, I move Senate Bill 124 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative McPherson has moved Senate Bill 124 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any further discussion, questions?
Thank you. I might just offer up an observation. I think that might increase the comfort level of some members of the committee. When you think about what happens, Mr. Chair, so the normal dynamic is we pass statutes and then the administrative agencies adopt rules to implement them, and those rules never come back to be looked at. And it's only because of the particular sensitivity of sentencing issues that we even have a bill like this coming back to us. Ordinarily, it would just be, we establish general principles of policy, and then the agencies are charged to adopt rules that are within those statutes. In this case, because of the sensitivity, it comes back, so we have an opportunity, although, as I think we're discovering, kind of a limited opportunity to look at what they've done. At least we hear from them about how they've gone about doing their work.
Yeah, but probably if we had the same opportunity with some agencies and administrative rules, we'd be far more upset than what we see here. Okay, would you please call the roll now?
Representative Ackerman?
Aye.
Representative Flores?
Aye.
Representative Flores?
Aye.
Representative Gerard?
Aye.
Representative Thatcher?
Aye.
Representative Worth, excused. Vice Chair McPherson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Olson?
Aye.
Chair Krieger?
Aye. Senate Bill 124 does move to the floor with a due pass recommendation. And Representative McPherson, you want to carry? Thank you. Open a work session on House Bill 2015.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. I'm going to pass out to you a table that I developed in response to some questions that came up when this House Bill 2015 was heard at the subcommittee level. This bill would extend statute of limitation for sex abuse crimes when the victim is under the age of 15. Currently, under Oregon law, when the victim is under 18 years of age at the time of the offense, the statute of limitation runs either at the victim's 24th birthday or within 6 years of its first reporting the offense to a law enforcement agency, whichever occurs first.
This bill would extend that to a 12-year statute of limitations or the victim's 30th birthday, again, whichever occurs first. What I've done in the table that I have passed out is a state-by-state analysis when I was able to get my hands on the state's statute of limitations to show you sort of where Oregon falls now versus where Oregon would fall if this bill were passed. And again, this was based on some testimony that we heard at the subcommittee level during the public hearing that raised some concerns of the members regarding how far out there this new law would take the state of Oregon. As it turns out, I mean, to summarize this table very briefly, I think Oregon currently, there's very little consistency from state to state, and every state has differences. Every state has ifs and thens, and so there's a lot of detail in this table. What I think it boils down to is on the far extreme, you have no statute of limitations at all for sexual assault crimes. In the middle, I would say, is a probably 7 to 20 year bubble of statute of limitations, and at the end would be maybe 1 to 6 years. Oregon, I think, falls in the lower part of the middle now. If House Bill 2015 were to move, I think we would start to fall into the sort of higher end of the averages, is my best sort of synopsis of this table.
Who was the carrier?
Representative Olson was the carrier. I would also note that we did just receive this morning the fiscal. It is indeterminate, and there is a fiscal report that I believe was passed out.
Any comments or questions, committee members? I believe we're in work session. Would someone like to make a motion on the bill?
I'll make a motion, Mr. Chair, that it would be passed on to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Olson moves House Bill 2015 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any further questions or comments? Not, call the roll, please.
Representative Ackerman?
No.
Representative Barker?
Aye.
Representative Flores?
Aye.
Representative Girard?
Aye.
Representative Thatcher?
Aye.
Representative Worth excused. Vice Chair McPherson?
No.
Vice Chair Olson?
Yes.
Chair Krieger?
Aye. Excuse me. House Bill 2015 does pass to the floor of the due pass recommendation. Representative Olson will carry, please. We are not going to move House Bill 2145. The speaker was out. We need to get her permission to have a referral or deferral to another committee. Heidi, do we have anything else for today?
We have some bill introductions, Mr. Chair.
Just hold just a second.
Okay.
We're not going to take a look at those today. I want to take a look at them myself. I don't want to do them in committee without having looked at them. Any further business to the committee? We're adjourned.